curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast with Ron Kitchens. I am Carla Sones, and I am delighted to be in the podcast studio in beautiful downtown Kalamazoo, Michigan, on a glorious, somewhat brisk winter morning with Ron Kitchens. And how are you?
I am awesome-ish. Awesome-ish. Oh.
Well, I need to know more about the ish behind the awesome.
Well, because we had a breakfast this morning and there was leftover bacon, and now I'm starting to feel hungry and I'm thinking about the leftover bacon. So, yeah, I'll be okay. When we get done, I'll have another couple of pieces of bacon and I'll be back to being awesome.
Okay. Well, that seems like an easy thing to remedy. So I'm feeling better about the ish. We're not used to that.
All it takes to be awesome is a little pork fat.
Right. Yeah. We're not used to the ish behind the awesome. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, all was A-okay. So speaking of leading, we're going to talk about something today that I think will resonate with a lot of people listening to this podcast, because let's face it, most people aren't the point leader of an organization. Or even if they are the point leader of an organization, they still technically have a board or some type of stockholders, shareholders, somebody else who also is really leading. So what does it mean to lead when you're not in charge? And most people who are working in America are sitting in a position where they are not the point leader. And so they are technically leading, even though they aren't technically in charge. And what does that mean to you?
So that's kind of one of those slightly hard ones for me, because I've mostly been in charge, whether it was owning my own company and being in charge. Now I had bankers and a board who were clearly I had responsibilities to, and working for a U.S. senator, I kind of ran my own area of that. So I've always felt empowered. And maybe that's the difference is, for us, I've tried to build an organization where people are CEOs of their own responsibility so that everyone feels in charge. Now, everybody's in charge at different levels and everyone's in charge at different responsibilities. But it really is about, for me, self-determination, the ability to say, with what I've been entrusted to achieve and been given the resources to execute, I am going to exceed expectations. Because that's really what it means to be a point leader. And too many of us will allow a title or a perceived ranking determine our ability to execute and achieve. And those that understand that you need not wait to lead are those that are thriving. And I think that's what it means to lead when you're not in charge, is to understand you really are in charge. It just may be of a smaller opportunity than others, but you're empowered. You have those abilities, but that's not something we're taught in business school or not taught kind of anywhere. You know, I think somebody who does a great job of it is the Girl Scouts. You know, I believe that, you know, Girl Scouts are urban assassins to my diet, because I love them Girl Scout cookies. The frozen thin mints, Samoas, that coconut. Oh, they're so good. So buy Girl Scout cookies. But Girl Scouts teach those young women that they're in charge. That in a lot of cases is the first time in their lives that they're taught expectations, opportunities, and outcomes. And I think for whether they make money for their troops, which I know they do, but just those life skills that are learned is an amazing thing. And I'm just a huge fan of what the Girl Scouts have been able to do with that.
You know, speaking of huge fan, we had Aaron Ziegler in this morning, and he, you know, locally here in Kalamazoo, he owns a very successful car dealership.
Top 1% of all dealership groups in the nation.
And he was talking about the growth that they've experienced since he took ownership of the company, going from 5 dealerships to 30. But what really struck me is he was talking about, you know, hiring and one of the things that he looks for. And he said, you know, you can't train somebody to have like this innate energy that's just going to, you know, really drive them, like an engine inside of them that you can't stop. And I think for so many people that are starting their career, they have that and they lose it someplace because they feel like it's not appreciated. And so fostering that in an environment, but most importantly, if you're out there and you're thinking like, I used to have this like engine that was just roaring with all these ideas and all of this energy behind the work that we were doing, but I feel like my ideas never make it to the top or they never get implemented. What advice do you have for somebody who is leading in that situation where it may be, but change is hard? And so their ideas may be making it to the top and they may be implemented in a very small way. What advice do you have for people who are kind of losing their steam, you know, stuck in the middle, so to speak, of middle management?
So I think that is hard. And I can remember early in my career, I was in a role where working for a city council in a point leadership role, and I had a particular city councilman who was a micromanager, and it was soul crushing. It was, I mean, this is a guy who I was paid mileage to go, you know, about my job, who then drove, claimed I was cheating on my mileage, went and drove the miles that I drove, then realized that I had actually under claimed the mileage and then billed the city for his mileage to double check on me. And I began to shut down. I thought, if this is the way I treated, then I'm just not going to give them my best. And I looked around one day and thought, I'm not going to let my engine idle because somebody doesn't want to run the race that I'm capable of. So I'm just going to take my engine somewhere else. So, you know, that's kind of the ultimate, you know, change that you make. But the reality is you have to lead yourself well. You have to be self-disciplined. You have to have the patience to understand that you have to have mastery in an area before you can move to the next area to lead. It's a bit of a case where, you know, a great example is you're climbing up the ladder. Well, in a lot of cases, your legs may be long enough to skip the rung and you can go up, but any ladder you're going to go up, you're going to come back down a step or two and it's going to see some change. But if that rung you skipped isn't there anymore, you can't see it going backwards. So you're going to miss where it's supposed to be and you're going to fall and crash. So you've got to self-manage and you got to have the discipline to be great. You have to hold yourself to higher standards than anyone in your organization and anyone in your around you even thinks is sane. That's what leading yourself is about, you know, and you've got to understand that being a leader is about being the ultimate collaborator. You know, as a kid, I was fascinated by the town I'm from is the Finley River that runs through it. And the Finley River leads to the James River, which leads to the White River, which leads to the Mississippi River, which leads to New Orleans, where all imaginary great things happened when I was a kid, including pirates. And so as I began to learn about pirates and study who they really were, not the yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum pirates, but who these people really were, the amazing thing is they were the ultimate democracy. They elected their own leader from amongst themselves. And so it was this great form of leadership democracy. And the reality of the world today, we may not have formal votes, but organizations elect their own leaders. Or maybe they de-elect or deselect leaders who fail to be collaborative. So being a great teammate is the ultimate way to get to be a great leader, whether you're the point leader, an area leader, just a collaborative leader. But then I think you have to refuse to be passive. get to work, do amazing things, read more than everybody else, have more knowledge than everybody else. And I say, don't be passive. Doesn't mean be aggressive. Don't be passive with your own learning and personal development. All the knowledge of the world is on your phone. You can go on YouTube and see the greatest thinkers of today teaching you and mentoring you for essentially the cost of charging your battery. And if you're not learning and bringing knowledge back and being a teacher, or at very least a sharer of that knowledge, then you don't deserve to be thought of as a leader. Leaders are teachers, and they love to learn. And most cases, great leaders I know are crazy driven to learn. I mean, they are learner freaks, but they're that servant teacher. They don't wait for the title. They are sharers. You know, they're the ones making photocopies of articles and leaving it on people's desks that just said, hey, I was thinking of you. So I think that's key. One of the great leadership lessons I got over the holidays, and a mutual friend of ours, and who, if I said his name, people would all kind of know it is, but it would seem like a humble brag, so I'm not going to say his name. He sent me a note that said, hey, Happy New Year. Hope the holidays are treating you well. Are you being kind to yourself? And I'm telling you what, it was one of the most profound texts. I said email, it's a text that I got. And I thought, man, that's leadership in love. It was ultimate, it was a few words. It wasn't a lesson. It wasn't anything other than, hey, just thinking about you. Hope life's good. You're being kind to yourself. And there's no title went with that. No anything went with that. The only thing holding people back from doing that is fear that who am I to care that much about you? Well, guess what? Who are you not? If you want to be a point leader, if you want to lead an organization, then the first thing you have to do is you have to care more than other people think is sane. And if you do that, you'll have more opportunities to lead than you can ever imagine. If you don't do that, you'll have more opportunities to lead than you can handle.
You know, Ron, I really appreciate that statement of, are you being kind to yourself? Not only because it's, you know, in that situation, it was just such a beautiful gesture, but also because in the situation of leading when you're not in charge, you have to be kind to yourself. You know, when you begin to look at, and I know, you know, here at Southwest Michigan First, there's an entire cohort of individuals that go through a program every year called Managing from the Middle. And it's really designed for people who are in a middle management type place in their career and maybe have been there for years, maybe have just started out in that place. But there's a lot of research about the tensions on both ends of having a group of people that you're leading, because you're often leading a group of people in middle management, but then also having to lead up in an organization and share what information is coming from people who are in a smaller group, maybe just getting started out, maybe the worker bees of an organization, and you're their communication method for upper level management and where real huge decisions get made. And the pressure and the tension of leading on both ends really wears people down. And so you have to, if you're in that position where you're leading and you're not in charge, you have to first and foremost be really kind to yourself, because you're often hearing the pressures from both ends and you're in the middle with so much influence, but in moments you don't feel like you have it. And so you have to be kind to yourself and you have to say, you know, this position is tricky, but if I follow through with the leader that I want to be and I do the things, and you've already mentioned, like, you know, continue to read and be self-disciplined and collaborate, you'll find great success. And there's so much research out there about the importance of that middle manager or a person leading when they're truly not in charge. And that when employees are leaving companies, they're leaving their manager.
That's right.
So usually it's middle management who's managing most of the individuals on a day-to-day basis in most companies. And so if that leader is not strong in themselves, not being kind to themselves, you can't be kind to others when you're not kind to yourself.
That's right. And we've talked about it before, but self-care, self-love, self appreciation is not selfish. And too many of us, you know, the movie Wall Street with Michael Douglas in it, you know, it's famous for him and his suspenders and his white shirt. And it's, you know, greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Or the Vince Lombardi quote, if you're not fired with enthusiasm, you will be fired with enthusiasm. That's the models we were given of leadership, or the models that pop culture gave us as leadership. But then when we really talk about the people we admire, it's the Abraham Lincoln who surrounded himself with a gang of rivals. It's Maya Angelou who talked about, you know, do as well as you can till you know better, and then do better. And it's about this learning. It's about amazing people out there who lead with what's the whole thing, a steel fist and a velvet glove, that, you know, are kind but doing the right thing. But all of those people know who they were and they took care of themselves. You can't serve anybody if you're, you know, I feel some days when we're coaching and working with people that they're like the kid's toy Stretch Armstrong. And you could pull his arms apart and they get really skinny, and then you let him go and then they come back and he's muscular. But you know what? And I've done this because I was that kind of kid. If you pull his arms apart and you pull too far, you can tear him off. Or you pull him apart and you just leave him there. And when you undo it, his arms won't go back. You lose the elasticity of your leadership. So we have to make sure that we're building muscle, building that leadership capacity, but understanding we have to be flexible, but we have to come back to center when we do that. And it's hard. It is hard to be a great leader today without great coaches. Some people have budgets for that. If you don't, man, YouTube and the following, and if you need a list of people to follow that you can learn from, who can be mentors for you on learning, Kerry Newhoff has got an incredible podcast. He's an incredible blog follow. Kerry will pour into you, and the people on that will so pour into you that it will make you a great servant leader, a great middle leader. But you have to actually listen. You actually have to play on your phone to listen to that podcast. You actually have to read the blogs.
And I would say you have to meet with people that are in, you know, you have to build a network and not be afraid to do that, and to have a network of support that you can go and talk about the reality of the position that you're in without being disrespectful about the position. It's an exciting place to be. Like, there's more influence in that layer of an organization than most other places in any organization. And to look at it, to feel defeated every day in that position because you don't have ultimate say and you see some things that need to be done, know that change is hard and you need to rally yourself and be around other people that believe change is possible, but that it does take time. And they're there to support you in the personal journey of accomplishing some of your goals and, you know, supporting you regardless of whether or not a new change order gets accepted.
That's right. And we all covet. It's just human nature. We covet what others have: influence, authority, power, title, corner office, until we get it. And then we began to then look backwards and go, man, it was really cool when I got to know everything going on. And now I got promoted and I only get to work in this one area and I have no idea what everybody else is doing. That's that whole it's lonely at the top thing. A big chunk of that is because you don't get to work on a wide variety of things. You don't get to know people in multiple levels because you get isolated because you're focused on just these one areas. So I can't imagine not wanting to be the point leader because I've always wanted that. We talked in the previous podcast, you know, I'm the guy who wanted the ball, you know, 10 yards out, I want the ball. But the fact of the matter is you have to work really hard to put yourself in that position. And when you do that and you've earned it, that's the fruits of our labor. It's the journey, not the outcome, that delivers to our souls. So, you know, go do great things every day. The world will respond. Karma, whatever that means to you, the universe appreciating you, whatever. Good things happen to people who become experts and work their tail off to show and serve.
Awesome. Well, that's a wrap on this week's Leadership Podcast. Ron, I look forward to another engaging and delightful conversation with you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.